This is the State of Things. I'm Frank Stacio. Those of us of a certain age will remember the times when Dad got really excited about setting up a Super 8 film camera to record a birthday party or a holiday meal or a backyard cookout. And he was even more jazzed about pulling out the projector and that retractable screen several months later to force us all to relive those moments. Did I say force? Yeah, it was a bit of a chore to sit through those screenings. But, you know, we know some people who find virtue in those old films. Home Movie Day returns this Saturday to the State Archives in Raleigh. It's a worldwide celebration, and it invites people to come with their celluloid memories and give the crowds a blast from the past. And don't worry, it is not always about blowing out birthday candles. Home videos do give us a glimpse into the lives and culture of everyday people through the decades. You can find out details about Home Movie Day at our website, stateofthings.org. And here to talk about it are Skip Elsheimer and Devin Orgeron, back in our studio. Skip is the founder of AV Geeks. He digitizes the home movies. Skip, welcome back. Good to have you.
Thanks, Frank.
Devin is film professor at NC State University. Devin, welcome back.
Thanks so much, Frank.
Skip, tell us again, what is Home Movie Day?
Well, Home Movie Day is this international event that celebrates and educates people about the importance of home movies. Home movies, easily people think, well, that's a family thing, that's an old thing, who cares about that? But what we've realized is that those are cultural artifacts. They talk about how we used to live. And when you pull them out of the family, you start seeing how lots of different people lived all over the world. And you see similarities, you see differences, and those films were being thrown away. And we wanted to create an event that would celebrate them, but also teach people not to throw them away, because these are important moving images that show us how we lived.
And Devin, tell us about the event. What happens when I go there?
Well, we have, when you first walk through the doors of the archive, we have some inspection tables set up. So we have professional volunteers that come and look at your films, smell your films, make sure that everything is going to be okay to run through a projector. And from that point, it's basically kind of an interactive, almost crowdsourcing informational activity. So, you know, the films are shown in the order in which they come, and people kind of wait their turn. But the incentive for sticking around past your film or until your film is that we play Home Movie Day Bingo.
Okay.
And so we have lots of items on our bingo cards of things that you see lots really often in home movies. We have some more obscure items as well. And it makes the room kind of this interactive, playful environment, and it encourages folks to ask questions about what they're seeing on the screen.
Tell us about that, about the interaction or how it goes. Like, oh, I brought my film in. Skip, my film is up. It's showing. Am I talking about the film?
What we try to do is encourage the people who brought the film to talk about them. And sometimes they know what they're about to see. Sometimes they have no idea, and they're trying to piece it together. Like, I think that's my grandfather. Well, that looks like where they used to live. And what's interesting is the audience will participate as well, and they'll throw in things like, oh, that's such and such North Carolina, or that's, you know, I saw a license plate that said that's in Illinois. So it becomes this participatory kind of shared event where we all kind of watch, it's like almost like an archaeological thing where you're looking, you're like, what is this? Who is that?
Yeah.
So it's really entertaining in that regard.
And it's interesting, too, because I think the families, when they're watching this stuff for the first time or the first time in many years, they're so focused on the individuals in the film and trying to identify, you know, family members. But the crowd as a whole is focused on other items. And
sure.
So it's a really interesting way to sort of get lots and lots of information about these films.
I can imagine. I mean, again, as you said, some folks have not really seen these things. They come, they hand you the film. You run them on projectors or, I guess, VHS, right? Sometimes
right.
There's tapes.
Mm-hmm.
Then you digitize them on the fly, right?
As
they're showing, you're also digitizing. So I get to go home with that. But I suppose it could be kind of emotional for some people who may not have remembered some of this.
Well, we've had at least one occasion where a couple saw their wedding for the first time. They'd been married for 30 years. And this was the first time. Basically, somebody shot the film as a gift. They didn't have a projector. So this was the first time they actually got to see this. And that was, talk about emotional. Yeah, that was really something.
It was very moving for them. And I think, you know, it's true. I think every year you can sense the emotions in the room. It never gets awkward. It never gets uncomfortable. But you can tell there's a lot kind of there's a lot of surprise and a lot of nostalgia involved in sort of seeing these things and recognizing people.
And I guess that's where the bingo comes in, because you might want to ask questions. But again, when people's emotions are raw, you want to find a way to do this. So I guess you can use your bingo card as your
right. So we get a lot of people who are enthusiastic. They want to win. So yeah. They will ask these questions. Is that your grandmother? Are they wearing a cast? You know, so there's that whole thing that kind of keeps things going and keeps things informal. Yeah. And it, even though it's in a big auditorium at the State Archives, it becomes very informal and very familiar. And it's a very comfortable environment.
It's true. We don't have any home movie day matchups like weddings or anything like that that have happened because of home movie day. But I do feel like it feels like just a really big living room. And people get really into it and enjoy each other's commentary.
Yeah, you may not have had the same experiences, but we all experienced the making of some kind of film about our
for
lives.
For sure.
So we're all there. And some weird moments, too. Home movies with landmarks or even famous people in the background. Last year you saw a famous North Carolina politician, right?
Yes, this was a Sunday school fishing trip, and we were watching it, and the person said, well, our chaperone was Jesse Helms. And it was a very young Jesse Helms before he actually sought political office, and supposedly he was not very seaworthy.
Oh.
He was very seasick.
He got seasick.
Yeah, we didn't see that, but that was the story that was related.
There was an artful cut.
But they were not very,
But you've seen others. I mean, I think we've talked about this before, like family vacations where people are in the famous sort of family in Germany.
Right, yeah. So there was a couple in Chapel Hill that basically went to two Hitler rallies, Mussolini rally, and they were, I don't know, they were documenting it. I'm not sure exactly what was happening. There was other kind of sightseeing things happening, but they just kept showing up at these kind of axis of evil events, and it was just phenomenal to see that. And to see, you know, you've seen lots of footage of Hitler, but to see footage in a home movie just floored everybody.
Well, and I don't know. Was it just that real? I mean, was that real dedicated to the speech, Mussolini? Or because the cool thing would be if you're watching them try to get into the rowboat and then eat the Wiener Schnitzel.
Right, right. Well, no, so they were on the so they were on the Autobahn. There was the Alps. Yeah. So and they were in Paris. And so there was. Yeah,
it's
definitely
not like
a trip.
It wasn't their dictator tour.
Right, exactly. It just
I think
turned
they just felt like, when in Germany, this is happening.
This is a cool thing. Look at all these people. I wonder what this is all about. You know, what are they giving away here? And turns out to be lies. And also the idea of home movies, of course, we joked about it at the beginning, the notion that the last thing we want to do is sit down and watch those films again. But as you point out, it can be entertaining. And we're going to take a trip here. This is, I think, a fairly interesting clip. Maybe you should tell us first about Robbins Barstow.
Robbins is this really interesting figure in kind of in some ways I would like to say a figurehead of amateur filmmaking. He made films since he was a little kid. I think he got his first camera when he was 10. He made his first film when he was about 13. And later in life, he became sort of an ambassador for home movies and amateur filmmaking, and went back to a lot of these materials that he shot as a young person and added some audio commentary to them, and really artfully narrated and kind of gives you a sense of the times.
So in 1954, we bought a large camping tent, which we used as a means for traveling around the country to visit historic sites and natural wonders during summer vacations, combining the fun of camping with learning about America's past and present. We thought friends and neighbors might be interested in our family travel adventures, so we took home movies of our trips and put on neighborhood movie shows when we returned each year.
That's a clip from Robbins Barstow, home movie Family Camping Through 48 States. And we're talking about home movies today in preparation for Home Movie Day this Saturday, 1 o'clock, the State Archives in Raleigh. We've got details at our website, stateofthings.org. But tell us more about that film.
Well, it's an interesting film. It kind of you travel along with Robbins and his family through this entire vacation. I think it's the whole parts one and two, I think it totals something like it's over an hour.
Oh yeah.
And it's pretty fascinating. And it's also, you know, it's unusual because he was a tinkerer and a highly skilled editor. So it's a family vacation that looks like no other family vacation. There are in-camera tricks and editing tricks and just sort of beautiful little homages to the activity of travel and recording travel.
Well, that brings us, too, to the technology and how it's changed. I mean, back in the, you know, Super 8 days, sure, it's these quotidian events that's our everyday lives, blowing out the candles and opening the presents. But because it was an ordeal, Dad had to get the antlers out and those bright lights went on and we probably had a little tie on or something like that. They're a little stagey in the presentation. I mean, often if you're going to go to that trouble and expense, you want to make sure everything was right, even if there are some candids in there.
Well, definitely there are some filmmakers who were primarily fathers. There were some mothers that actually shot a lot of footage who have a style and they want everything to be staged. It's just like people who take photos. Some people want everybody to smile and it be staged. And some people are into candids that just will let the camera fly. But since film was so expensive, most of the time it's some sort of staged event where I've seen footage where it's just people walking towards the camera. So you have these older people who don't know what motion pictures are walking towards the camera very slowly.
Like moving portraits.
Yeah, very deliberate. Yeah. And then some people, it's just, it's a free-for-all. It's just the camera is just around and people just ignore it.
Mm-hmm. But they do seem to be, I mean, my memory, it's been a long time since I've seen ours, but they seem to be much more formal than what you can do now if you just have to pull out your phone and really kind of every sip of coffee can be a video event.
I think it's true. I think we've grown really highly accustomed to this idea of self-recording. I think it's an impulse that probably started around the mid-century and it was certainly a more reined in kind of impulse because of the expense and the labor and the effort. But I think it speaks to the same impulse. What I find is that my students, and I show home movies in my classes all the time, and I find that they are just deeply familiar with what they see these people operating cameras doing.
That's interesting. Tell us about the film R. Nixon.
R. Nixon's an interesting example of, I think there's been this trend in the past 10 or so years of documentary filmmakers relying really heavily on archival footage, and often that archival footage is in the shape of amateur films and home movies. And R. Nixon is basically the home recordings of, or the amateur recordings of, some of Nixon's top aides capturing a really important moment in history. Of course, not everybody's home movies are going to capture somebody like Nixon at this moment. But they all, and I think this is what Skip and I always kind of turn to and offer informationally, is that they all contain some kind of historical record of something.
We are talking about Home Movie Day, which you can attend this Saturday, 1 o'clock at the State Archives. We're talking about it today on The State of Things. Devin Orgeron and Skip Elsheimer are here talking about it. It's interesting because you have a clip from this. We're talking about staff members kind of taking home movies of this historic presence. The clip we're going to play is interesting in many ways. This would have been news footage that's right, included in the, so it gets edited into what is, a staffer's home video. And of course, this is Richard Nixon talking to Buzz Aldrin on the moon.
Yep.
Go ahead, Mr. President. This is Houston out.
Hello, Neil and Buzz. I'm talking to you by telephone from the Oval Room at the White House. And this certainly has to be the most historic telephone call ever made from the White House. And as you talk to us from the Sea of Tranquility, it inspires us to redouble our efforts to bring peace and tranquility to Earth. For one priceless moment in the whole history of man, all the people on this earth are truly one. One in their pride in what you have done.
It's a clip from the documentary R. Nixon, a film shot by three aides for Richard Nixon. Home Movie Day this Saturday at 1 at the State Archives in Raleigh. What's remarkable about that is to think about the kind of DIY quality of the home video, and that this most staged of all staged speeches, when he's well aware of the fact that he's being recorded in the Oval Office, here's a guy who's making the speech, well-prepared, well-rehearsed, and that then appears in this home video.
It's interesting. I mean, he sounds in this moment so peaceful and tranquil, but in the more candid moments, we see the Nixon that we that we're accustomed to. And it's a very different person.
Well, it's very interesting that I believe that Nixon was the one who wanted to have – he provided the cameras. He provided the film to his staff. They wanted it documented. And so you get to see things that you've always seen from the press side. Mm-hmm. And to see it behind the scenes is really you see a real person. Yeah. You see the foibles, the many foibles of Richard Nixon.
It's great. Fascinating. It's fascinating stuff. You'll get to see that. Is that something you've screened, or are you going to screen that this?
Oh, no, time? No. I tend to show it in classes.
It's out there. It's out there in the big wide world.
It is.
And all kinds of other things. We have just a couple of seconds left, but again, talk about the technology today, the fact that it is so easy to do this stuff. How contemporary do you get? Are you taking stuff from iPhones, or do you?
Some Home Movie Day events have done that. They've used iPhone footage. It's a more of a challenge for us to do it, but if people start bringing it, then we'll start figuring out how to accommodate it. And iPhone footage is more endangered than film because it's not a physical thing.
Yeah.
So those are things that we have to start really talking about.
And so instead of digitizing it, do you then record it on Super 8 film?
Yeah, I'd love to do that.
Right,
actually,
exactly.
I would love to do that. If I had $1 billion, that's what
standard.
I would put it all back on film.
My guests are AV Geek founder Skip Elsheimer and NC State film professor Devin Orgeron. Home Movie Day this Saturday, 1 o'clock, the State Archives. You can find out more at our website, stateofthings.org. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Frank.
State of Things is produced by Laura Lee, Anita Rao, Will Michaels, Charlie Shelton, and Andrew Tai. Robin Copley is our technical director. Brent Wolf is WUNC's news director. North Carolina Public Radio is a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. I'm Frank Stachow.